Previously on Talk to Dad. Actually, I just said actually twice. I'm going to restart that.
You did. I'm tired of Zoom calls. I don't know. That's really freaky.
It was like this. What the heck?
That was what you were going to say, wasn't
it? It's reading your mind. Make me a sandwich.
Poof. You're a sandwich.
Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 229. We've got Elizabeth.
Hey.
And Will.
Hello.
And Henry here with us.
Hello.
We've got three of the kids on the Talk to Dad podcast. The only one we're missing is Phoebe, but she is in California.
Yep.
Being a missionary.
Living that Cali lifestyle.
We talked to her yesterday on Christmas, but she's not here today. We should have like some Phoebe drops so we could just like drop them into the podcast.
Like a Phoebe.
So we can pretend that she's here.
Yeah, like a little Phoebe bot.
Yeah, like in Star Wars like franchise movies when they have to like resurrect an actor by just using little clips of them.
And it would be easier to do that just with a voice than with, you know, weird looking CGI.
Maybe, we don't have the budget for that.
And then maybe once Phoebe's back, we could have her on the podcast again, but also we could have Phoebe bot at the same time.
we'll just cut to like, we'll have like just certain phrases that we can hit. So like, we'll be like, what do you think, Phoebe bot? And she'll be like, absolutely. Or, I don't think so.
Yeah. That would be fun. So, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We are recording this on Boxing Day 2020.
Yeah, we just got out of the boxing ring.
Yes. We're a little bit bruised. We're better for it.
I'm doing great.
How was everybody's Christmas?
Pretty good.
You know what I just realized?
What?
You box all the presents for Christmas, and then you open them on Christmas, and the next day it's called Boxing Day.
I think it's
because you put like, away your old
maybe
stuff.
You put away the decorations and boxes.
I think it's something about honoring postal workers.
I think.
Do you put the presents back in the boxes?
No, you listen to the Nationals album Boxer.
Of course.
All right, yeah. That must be it.
Okay, Google. What is the meaning of Boxing Day?
Here's the definition of Boxing Day. In parts of the British Commonwealth, a public holiday celebrated on the first day, strictly, the first weekday after Christmas Day.
Okay, that didn't really tell us anything.
I don't know.
It's just the day after Christmas.
The National does deserve a holiday, though.
They do.
I feel like we need to get to the bottom
of
this.
It's a national holiday.
And instead of having just our speculation about what Boxing Day is, let's look it up. Boxing Day is a holiday celebrated the day after Christmas Day, thus being the second day of Christmastide. Though it originated as a holiday to give gifts to the poor, today Boxing Day is primarily known as a shopping holiday.
That's a bit different than giving gifts
to the
poor.
It's like Black Friday, but like for Christmas, I guess, instead of Thanksgiving.
And for Brits.
It says, according to Wikipedia, they say there are competing theories for the origin of the term, none of which is definitive. The European tradition of giving money and other gifts to those in need or in service positions has been dated to the Middle Ages, but the exact origin is unknown. It is sometimes believed to be in reference to the alms box placed in Christian churches to collect donations for the poor.
That's weird.
The tradition may have come from a custom in late Roman, early Christian era where alms boxes placed in churches were used to collect special offerings tied to the feast of Saint Stephen.
Wait, does anyone even know like what we're supposed to do on Boxing Day? Like,
we're supposed to box.
And then this one's another one says in Britain it was a custom for tradesmen to collect Christmas boxes of money or presents on the first weekend after Christmas as thanks for good service throughout the year.
But like, no one really knows like what you're supposed to celebrate on Boxing Day.
So you're supposed to put your donation, like your money to the poor in the box.
And
that's why it's Boxing Day. It has nothing to do with the sport. Or boxing up Christmas decorations.
That's what I was taught.
We were pretty much wrong on both counts.
Probably. Well, that's just like,
although no one
knows
for sure. But that sounds like a pretty good explanation. And I think I have heard that before, that it's like when you give money to the poor.
I mean, I feel like it's not really about the poor anymore. It's just
Yeah, if it turned into like a shopping holiday, then I don't feel like that's really like...
Well, that's like so many things during Christmas, but...
Yeah.
True.
How was your Christmas?
Pretty good.
It was pretty good, yeah.
It was great. It was really fun. I liked it.
What is... Let's get the present thing out of the way right away. What was your favorite present?
Bass guitar. I got a bass guitar. That's fun.
That's pretty cool. Have you used it much?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I only got it yesterday, so.
You got a bass guitar. Specifically a Fender Mustang bass.
True.
You had a big box. You unwrapped your present, and there was a big box that said Fender on it, and I told you it was probably a Fender for a car.
Yeah, I had no idea. Okay, well, I actually sort of suspected that it would be a bass guitar based on the shape of the box, like, while it was wrapped. But, like, I don't know, I was confused by your whole Fender thing.
You know, Fender is, like, the most famous electric guitar company in the world.
Yeah, probably. I texted Ben, who's been on the podcast a couple times in the past. He just moved to Houston, but, he said that, because he plays electric guitar, and he said that Fender is, like, one of the best brands.
Yeah, Fender and Gibson, and there's a few others that are popular, but I think Fender is probably the most popular brand of electric guitars. So what about you, Will?
Probably that, like, crazy keyboard that I got with all the settings and, like, knobs and switches and stuff.
So you got, like, a keyboard synthesizer.
Yeah, basically.
Yes.
I think that would be, like, what would be considered, like, a synthesizer, like, 20 years ago. Because it has, like...
Well, it still is considered still a synthesizer.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
It's
a Korg synthesizer, which is a pretty well-known
brand. I just find it funny that you didn't know what it was until you took it out of the box that said synthesizer on it.
I don't think he noticed that it said synthesizer. Yeah,
I pointed it out.
He doesn't listen to what you say. You should know
true.
That.
True.
I don't know if I'd, like, want one just because I don't think I'd be able to figure it out, but I always like watching videos of those, like, I don't even think there's a word for them, but, like, those synthesizers that have the, like, grid of buttons.
That are just knobs?
The buttons? No, it's like a grid of buttons that light up,
like,
within
square
the
buttons.
Things.
Oh, yeah,
you push
like
them and you can program them to make different noises. I'm sure they have a name, I just don't know what it would be.
It's like, they're called, like, there's different brands
for it. I completely forgot what they're called.
I think Launchpad is one.
Oh, yeah.
I have a really mini, like, Launchpad that's, like,
it's like
one octave of keys
a couple
and then, like,
buttons.
And I can't figure it out. But that synthesizer that I got for Christmas, I messed around with a little bit yesterday, and it's really fun.
Yeah. What about you, Elizabeth?
technically, I have not received my favorite Christmas present yet.
Yeah. So Santa wanted to get you a really nice vacuum.
Yeah.
Because you had asked for it.
Yeah.
Something that would work especially well for someone who has pets.
And I opened it, and it was it looked like a vacuum cleaner, but it turns out it is a carpet cleaner.
Yes.
Which is...
Santa mistakenly got a Hoover...
carpet cleaner.
Carpet cleaner instead of vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, which is a really lovely
really nice
thought.
One, but it's not a vacuum
A very
cleaner.
Nice one. Yeah, but my apartment floors are concrete.
Maybe this is part of Santa's elaborate plan. Santa never...
You don't have any carpet in your apartment?
I have like a rug, and I have... actually, in our bedroom, there is... It's sort of a carpet. It's very like... It doesn't have really a pile on it. It's sort of... You know how like in classrooms...
Berber?
Is it?
Berber is the kind that has looped.
Yes, it's Berber.
Okay. So it's a Berber carpet.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. So you would want, if Santa were to correct his mistake and get you an actual vacuum cleaner, you would want one that works well on hard floors?
Yes, I would. But it can also pick up stuff like on Berber carpet and on like rugs and such.
Yeah.
Good
to know.
Which he is
might
going
be
to
taking that
back to Walmart to exchange it. Yeah. So I will be receiving that eventually, but it is going to be a great present.
I think Santa just wanted you to have both.
I think Santa just wanted me to stop living in filth.
Yes, we must not question the all knowledge and power of Santa Claus.
I'm not. I keep on forgetting that we haven't actually been to your apartment yet.
Yeah.
I know, we need to do that. Maybe during the Christmas break.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I asked for clothes that are comfy and warm since I'm still working from home here at the back end of 2020. And I've got some...
It's been a few days.
Comfy slippers on right now. I got some sweatpants. I got a sweatshirt. I'm pretty much just going to be like living my best life coming into 2021. Like where I never have to leave the house. I can just put on sweatpants and sweatshirts and slippers. And
yeah. I'm actually wearing a hoodie that I got from Carolyn for Christmas. It's so comfortable, but it has Mothman on it. So I'm very, very proud of that.
Yeah. Mothman is your favorite cryptid. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I think so. Do you boys know
about Mothman?
Yes.
Do you know about the whole Mothman story?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mothman's kind of like a chupacabra.
Or like Bigfoot. Or whatever.
Except
yeah,
from like the forests like and mountains of West Virginia.
Yeah.
And he is a harbinger of death.
Yeah.
If you see Mothman, it means you're going to die soon. Or some tragedy is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like an element of like the Mothman story where it's like it predicts tragedies. Yeah, there was a bridge that collapsed, like, right after a bunch of Mothman sightings, I believe. They actually, down in Point Pleasant, have, like, tours.
Like, within 24 hours, I think. So it's not like just, you know, people saw him at various points in the day, but, like, right before the event.
Yeah. The interesting thing about the Point Pleasant area is that there's a bunch of, like, old war bunkers down there, like, in the woods.
From the Civil War.
Abandoned, yeah. And they will, like, take you on Mothman, like, ghost tours of that area.
This is something you want to do, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah, actually. You really do.
So, Mothman doesn't, like, Mothman doesn't, like, cause, like, Mothman doesn't attack you or anything. It's just, like, an omen.
Yeah, no one's really sure is the thing, I think.
Yeah, they have, like, tours of the area. Have you seen the big Mothman statue?
I have not.
Hold on, let me pull up a picture because it's pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
So usually the way harbingers work is, you know, it's just a warning that precedes some event. But, you know, some people could believe that it's causing that. But I think it's more of a, you know, a correlation versus causation. It's just, it happens simultaneous, but it's not necessarily causing it is typically what an omen or harbinger means.
Yeah, here's the picture of the statue. It's in downtown.
That's freaky looking.
It is really freaky looking. There's a couple interpretations of like
what
Mothman
on our social media so other people can see the picture we're looking at.
What Mothman looks like. That one's more of like a guy. It's like a Batman villain kind of thing where it's like a bug guy with like moth wings.
I always think of the actual Mothman as being more sort of shadowy. I think the Mothman was just a term that was used to describe it, but it doesn't actually look necessarily like a moth. It's just glowing eyes. And kind of a vague,
big, shadowy. That's kind of like the one that I have shirt is like kind of a almost bird like wings with like some dangly little legs and red eyes, and it's just kind of a shadowy mass.
It's kind of a silhouette for you, but
yeah, like a silhouette exactly.
Mm-hmm. I like they can make like your own interpretations what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah. I like the Jersey Devil in that way too, because a lot of people have different interpretations of like what it's supposed to look like.
I really like. I like the folklore of cryptozoology.
Me too. Yeah. It really, I was just talking about this with Bex the other day of like, I am really interested in like talking to people about like local like folklore and stuff. I live in Denton and we have the Goatman Bridge. I know there's many Goatman bridges, but we have like the one that everybody talks about.
I don't know about the Goatman Bridge.
Really? You don't?
Yes, please tell.
It's like a local legend where it's supposedly haunted by... a guy who was, I think he kept goats, according to the legend. There's like a couple different legends going on.
He wasn't part man, part goat?
No. But some people say that he haunts the bridge in the form of a half man, half goat.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of different legends. I'd recommend looking them up. But there's like a lot of different like Goatman bridges because the legend kind of spread and everybody thought that it was the one near them. But whenever you look up Goatman Bridge, it's always the one in Denton.
Wait, so he's like who's called Satyrs? Or Satyrs?
Depends on which legend. Again, there's like a ton of them. but I think the original legend was that he just kept goats while he was alive, and then people came and killed him, and now he haunts the bridge.
Keep you from going over the bridge or under the bridge or just...
I think if you just like just mess with the bridge there. Or like if you like disrespect him, he'll... I don't know, do something bad. I think there was a couple car accidents.
If you disrespect him, you will one day die.
Yeah, totally. I don't know. It's just interesting to see like people's like local legends and stuff.
Yeah.
Because it tells a lot about like the area that they live in.
Cryptozoology is like a good kind of launching off point for talking about folklore. I don't I tend to not necessarily believe in any of this stuff, but I think it's interesting the way people react and respond to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says something about how like they react to their town and the environments that they were like growing up in.
And their interests and concerns and things like that.
I have a very short, like brief story about a very local legend. This one time while we were out camping, there's this one spot that we really like to camp in. It's like this park that has like some trees and stuff. It's not too long away from here. So when we're going on like a more like casual camp out where we don't drive like multiple hours, we usually go there. I was like about 12 at the time, and I was just like with like some church members and like the 12 to 14 year olds. And one person, I think he was like 14, like went off and like hiked on his own, and we were like trying to find him because I think we were playing some ghost game or whatever. And we were like, what happened to this person? He came back.
This is at night or during the day?
This is at night, of course.
Yeah, night games like Ghosts in the Graveyard or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He came back. I think that's what we were doing. He came back and he said that he like saw like some trees and like a bridge and stuff. Then he looked away for a bit and he looked back and suddenly there were all of these like X's on the trees and the bridge and stuff. And he saw like this sort of house and this like man in the dark, and he like completely swore that he saw it. And we like, after like a whole bunch of like kind of arguing and like speculation and stuff, we finally tried to walk over there, and there actually were like these X's on the bridge, so we just like just completely noped and just ran out of there.
Nope, this is creepy.
I don't know, maybe he just didn't notice the X's.
He said a few weeks later that he was just tricking us, but I feel like he was just, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Like, in concept, I don't think the woods are very scary. But, like, when you're out there in the woods at night, you're like, this is why people are scared of that.
Kind of in a fun way, though.
I remember when I was in scout camp one year, it was a scout camp kind of in, it was either northern Utah or southern Idaho, I guess. And one of the camp counselors was this guy from England. And I remember at one of, like, the big bonfires that the whole scout camp went to, he told, like, ghost stories from this place in England. And he was saying it was like very haunted, and a lot of people had been like been hung from the trees. And if you look up into the trees, you could see their bodies like as shadows in the moonlight. Creepy. And I remember walking back to camp that night. I was totally freaked out by walking through the forest because I didn't want to look up and see like bodies hanging from the trees, even though like the story wasn't about our camp, but still.
It's funny. Like the morning after we like went for a hike, like just like around the camp. And we just, like, walked, like, straight through, like, the bridge with the X's on it. It turns out it just had X's on it because of, like, rain or something like that. Hmm. And we were just like, oh, this isn't scary at all.
Yeah. So, speaking of scary ghost stories, it's been Christmas.
It's been Christmas.
I thought it might be kind of fun to talk about, like, what Christmas traditions we managed to do this year and what we missed. Can you think of any?
We missed putting oranges in the stockings.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember trying to look for those.
Also, toothbrushes.
No oranges in the stockings this year.
We got toothbrushes.
We did?
Yeah.
Toothbrushes.
Yeah, we did.
There were toothbrushes in the stockings.
Oh, I just looked at my stocking too hard, I guess.
We did not frost cookies.
I would kind of think...
If you do that sound effect, it makes it sound like I'm incorrect.
It's true, but I don't know what other sound effect to do. We did do something that's an awful lot like frosting cookies, though. We did gingerbread houses.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, we never, like, delivered stuff to people.
We constructed some gingerbread houses on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm. Y'all did... We actually did this separately, but I went with my friends. Y'all did it, I hear, as a family. One of my favorite Christmas traditions, which is driving around and looking at lights.
Yes. Have you seen... There is a house.
I haven't seen it in person.
There's a house in West Frisco. So we live in the city of Frisco, and in far West Frisco, all the way to like very close to Little Elm. So it's really not too far from where you live.
Oh, yeah.
And it is insane.
Just decked out.
Like there are so many Christmas lights on that house. You should go check it out.
I really should. I've seen pictures, and it is super impressive.
Yeah.
I feel like
it's really impressive.
And it's kind of fun too. Like there was a little bit of a crowd when we were there, which was slightly uncomfortable because we forgot to bring our masks from the car, but we sort of stayed away from people, but still.
I put one on that you apparently had in your pocket, but,
and they were collecting donations and giving away candy canes.
Oh, that's very nice.
Where were the donations going to, by the way? I never figured that out.
They said, there was a sign that said, I can't remember, like a food bank or something. Or
I thought it just said, like, charity. Like, it didn't specify.
I thought it did specify, but I can't remember.
But I feel like there's always, like, especially in North Texas, probably, like, anywhere in the United States, but there's always some house that, like, gets put on the news that, like, goes completely insane with the decorations.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes, okay, but like, this one, like, I've never seen a house like this. Like, every, like, inch was covered with lights.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. Yeah, like, some of them have the display where it's, like, synced up to music, and those are pretty cool. This one, I almost like better, just because it was, like, so many decorations
just
and lights.
Over the top.
Just
absolutely
so over the top.
Over the top.
Crazy. Had a little mini tunnel.
It was pretty cool. So, looking at Christmas lights, for sure. What about, like, the specifics of, like, you know, Christmas Eve night and Christmas Day?
Oh, unwrapping pajamas.
Oh, yeah.
On Christmas Eve.
Yes, we did get pajamas. Mm-hmm. We all got matching pajamas, and Maisie got a little flannel dress that matched our flannel pajamas.
I feel like we didn't do that last year. Maybe we did, and I'm just...
No, some years we missed it. So it's a tradition that sometimes we manage to do it, and sometimes we don't. And usually what'll happen is there is a present under the tree. Mm-hmm. And you get to open one present on Christmas Eve. And
part
surprise,
of the,
it's always pajamas.
Yeah,
it's
part
pajamas.
Of the tradition is joking about, like, whoa, you got pajamas too? No way.
I don't think we're the only family that does this. I think other families do it as well.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
We had tamales on Christmas Day.
Usually that's a Christmas Eve.
Usually that's Christmas Eve dinner. Then we have Christmas dinner
one.
On Christmas.
No, we've either done it on Christmas before, too.
Well, yeah but it
they're
should
Christmas
be.
They're Christmas tamales.
But tamales are supposed to be for Christmas Eve, and Christmas dinner is supposed to be for Christmas
They're supposed to be around the holidays. It doesn't really matter.
I'd rather do the nice big meal on Christmas. Sometimes we flip-flop them just because we have guests over, and that's when it's better for the guests. But this year we had no guests because
obviously,
stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it's better to have the big meal on Christmas Eve, because Christmas Day is sort of like a relaxing, just hang around the house day.
Well, yeah.
And tamales
are
a lot easier to cook than like a smoked turkey. And
it's true, but Christmas dinner should be on Christmas, and Christmas Eve tamales should be on Christmas Eve, in my opinion.
I disagree.
I don't
and
think
I still love you, even though you're wrong.
We participated in the tradition of getting up early for Christmas morning, although...
I am. True.
Sort of.
That morning... Well, although, I mean, we slept until 8, which is pretty late for us.
I was surprised. Dad,
at about 7, I did not sleep well, and I don't know if it's because I was excited or just I haven't been sleeping well lately.
Yeah. No, but you woke us up rather than,
yeah.
like, the boys waking me up.
So now that we have the Amazon Echo Dots all over the house, you can use Alexa and say, and I can drop into people's rooms. So I can just be in bed and drop into Elizabeth's room or the boys' room and say, hey, how's it going? Wake up. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas.
I think I was lying in bed. I think I was just like listening to music or something.
Yeah, I got the idea that William and Henry were both up but hadn't gotten up yet. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth was stone cold asleep.
I was, yeah.
And was a little confused about why this voice was talking to her in her room.
I remember, I think it was Christmas Eve morning. Like all of us woke up and just made like extremely loud noise. Like we like kept on like slamming doors and like getting out like ingredients and stuff like that. And Elizabeth woke up and you're like, wow, we were so loud that we woke Elizabeth up.
I mean, usually you do, but I just turn over and go back to sleep because I'm like, oh, okay, it's just, okay.
I don't know if this is a Christmas tradition, but we watched a Christmas movie Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that was fun.
We saw the movie Klaus.
I think it's a tradition for us to watch a movie on Christmas Day, sort of. Because I remember, like, we went to go see The Force Awakens.
I think it was Lost Jedi.
Usually I think Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm. It's Christmas.
And that's a common tradition for a lot of people is to go watch a movie on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
But
I mean, we watched
so
Wonder Woman.
This year. Yeah, we watched Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about Klaus first, though.
I loved
Klaus.
Good.
Probably a better movie.
It was much better, even, and I had heard it was good, but it was better even than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
The animation was great.
Because there's a certain thing that you like, a certain amount of things that you expect from Christmas movies. I feel like just like Christmas, Christmas songs where it's like, oh yeah, if you're really into Christmas, you'll love it. But if you're not like, here's what to expect. It completely like didn't.
It was good.
It was
funny. It wasn't formulaic at all.
And it was interesting. And it was like a totally unique take on Santa Claus.
Yeah. Because even though you knew it was going to be a Santa Claus origin story, because they kind of tell you that up front, like, right. It genuinely had me like wondering what was going to happen next or like what was the deal with certain characters.
Yeah. It was kind of quirky. One of the things I liked about it is you sort of expect a Christmas story, especially if it's an origin story, to have like tons to lean really heavily on the narration. And I thought they didn't do that very much, which was
a bit of it.
They had it at the very beginning.
Just a little bit. And they did a lot of like visual storytelling. Yeah. Like instead of just like lots of dialogue driven exposition, it was a lot of like visual storytelling about like,
I think children
in the town and stuff like that.
I think the animating is like somewhere between like a 90s Disney movie and like Into the Spider-Verse, where like they have the like 2D like character designs that are very like bouncy and charismatic.
And the look was very much of an old time storybook.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, is the way that they colored it looked like a children's book, like the how the colors shifted. It looked like it was like painted with like, I don't know, what is that illustrator who did like Fanny's Dream? And it's a spoon, not a shovel. I know mom would know this.
I can't think of the name of it, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
But even like a little bit, like the way the coloring and the shading was done reminded me of like Little Golden Books, kind of.
Yeah.
And
that
style. It's always nice to see a movie like, I think it was Selfspecs, who like in an Into the Spider-Verse review said that like there's too many movies that are just like characters with squishy faces like in like super realistic backgrounds, but this is like another movie that kind of broke that trend.
Very stylized. Yeah,
which I really liked. It was also just really
Also like a really, like, I've never seen Santa portrayed that way before.
Yeah,
it was kind of nice.
Yeah,
I liked it.
How they explained everything. Like, they had a little bit of like magic or like mystical elements, but mostly they explained everything without magic, which I liked.
Which is great.
Yeah, like kind of practical explanations for stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it felt very like natural, which I really liked.
Yeah.
Yeah. The voice acting was good too.
Mark Brenner?
Brenner?
Buehner.
I think it's
Buehner.
Buehner?
Buehner or Buehner? Buehner, I think.
Buehner? Mark Buehner. Kind of illustrations.
Yeah.
Yeah, but very much like children's storytale, like illustrated storybook.
It had
it was very, very pretty.
The cast, it had Rashida Jones, which I really like from Parks and Rec, and it had J.K. Simmons voicing Klaus.
And Jason Schwartzman was like the main guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And J.K. Simmons is like one of my favorite actors, so.
Who was they had the voice of Jessie the Cowgirl too.
Joan Cusack. She was one of the villagers, yeah.
Yeah, and
she
was good. When you said, I was like, oh, she sounds a little familiar. And you're like, that's Jessie the Cowgirl. And I was like, oh, it is.
Yeah. So it's on Netflix right now. If you still want to watch a Christmas movie and you're not tired of Christmas entertainment, it's a really good watch.
It is excellent.
My only problem with it is there's some unnecessary pop music.
I mean, it's an animated
movie. I have no problem
with
pop music, but when it comes in, like,
they kept it to a minimum, though.
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't mind it so much.
I think I would give it like a 8.5 out of 10.
I really liked the design of like all the backgrounds and stuff and how they kind of there's a lot of historical type. Like, it was based on like a real whaling town, the setting, right?
Yeah, I think so. That's what mom said. I would give it it's a good movie. You should watch it.
Yes.
I really appreciate
it. Would recommend.
Yeah. Then we watched, and you mentioned it just a second ago, we watched Wonder Woman 84.
On Christmas Day,
because it was released in theaters, but also on HBO Max, which we now get for free because we switched our internet provider.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, internet provider.
And so we watched Wonder Woman. We had to pause it a couple of times because of interruptions, but what did you guys think of Wonder Woman?
I enjoyed it.
I did enjoy it.
I feel like DC, like movie universe, is kind of going through a thing where like, they're starting to make really, really, like, kind of dumb and, like, cheesy movies where they just, like, embrace kind of the cheesiness and the campiness and just go with it.
I'm gonna be honest, the acting in this movie...
A bit mixed, maybe.
A bit mixed, yeah.
Here's my 20-second movie review. I thought it was good, not great. I thought it was they made some interesting choices that you don't normally see in a superhero movie. I thought the first half was much better than the second half, and I thought there were some really great action sequences.
Yeah, the action sequences.
Oh, the action sequences were really... There was a point near like the end of... like middle end of the movie where I was like, this seems like an action sequence from like the old Justice League Unlimited cartoon.
Yeah.
But making that comparison also kind of made me think, man, I wish I was watching Justice League Unlimited. I don't know. I thought the script was kind of a mess.
Yeah,
true.
But it had good action sequences, and I like that they're moving more towards kind of a like campier traditional superhero kind of style. I've said it before, I'll say it again, we didn't know what we had with the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
I loved those.
The big set piece in the mall at the beginning was really good.
That was pretty cool. It was like very
really,
nice to look
really
at.
Really good action filmmaking. I thought it was, if you think about like the villains and their motivations and their story arcs, they were kind of interesting. They made some interesting.
I think Pedro Pascal as the villain was pretty good.
Yeah, I really like, I'm starting to really like Pedro Pascal between
Pedro
like
Pascal was good.
The Mandalorian and this.
I thought Kristen Wiig was good, although at the end of the movie, I thought her character design was really odd.
I liked that her end character design, although it doesn't make any sense unless you know what character she's supposed to be referencing.
And I guess the thing is, Wonder Woman's villains aren't as well known as like Superman's or Batman's, but apparently if you do follow Wonder Woman, Cheetah is a pretty big villain, like well-known villain,
which might be a bit of a spoiler, but
I don't think that's a spoiler. I think people know that Cheetah's the villain.
It was
a lot of foreshadowing. I noticed that, like, coming into it knowing that Cheetah was the villain, there's a lot of Cheetah foreshadowing.
Yeah, but like the way that she becomes Cheetah is like so weird and twisty and like
She just like decides to be evil.
I don't think I liked it as much, but then I only like when I watched the first Wonder Woman movie, I only thought like it was okay. I liked it well enough.
I think I liked the first one more.
One was pretty good. I think the thing that blew people away about the first one was that it was at the time, I think it was by far the best DC cinematic movie.
And it wasn't, like, just gritty and washed out and terrible to look at.
And it, like, didn't have, you know, Zack Snyder-ness to it.
Yeah, exactly.
I still think Shazam is still my favorite DC universe movie.
Yeah, is it DC? I thought it was Marvel for some reason.
Shazam?
I thought it was, like, its own thing.
I feel like Shazam is a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Christmasness in that movie, even though it came out during the summer.
Let's go around the table real quick. What is your favorite Christmas movie that like other people will say is not a Christmas movie? Because like everybody says Elf or like one of the old
people say Elf's animation. Not a Christmas movie.
No, because everybody that's like a Christmas movie.
No, that's
movie.
What they do say. Yeah.
That's what they do say, or like the old stop motion animation like 50s ones are definitely Christmas movies. What's your like Christmas movie that like is debatably a Christmas movie?
I'm gonna say Shazam.
You're gonna say Shazam.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Shazam.
I mean, some of the 12th Doctor Christmas specials from Doctor Who. I think that's kind of cheating,
though.
It's
not a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
We haven't watched the Doctor Who Christmas special yet.
Well, it hasn't come out yet.
It's
going to be a New Year special.
I didn't realize.
I'm really excited
for
that
one, though. They only have those sometimes, right? Because I didn't have to do it before. But
it's going to have the Daleks and it's going to have Captain Jack. And I'm really excited for that one.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad they're bringing him back.
He already returned in him.
What's yours, Elizabeth?
It's Carol.
I don't know Carol.
It's a good movie, but it technically takes place. Right? It's a romance drama.
Okay.
But it technically takes place around the holidays. But nobody else will say that that's a Christmas movie. But I think it is.
Yeah, I guess I got to pick an actual one. Captain Jack already had a scene in Series 12, but Shazam might be up there. I can't really think. I mean,
I almost said Iron Man 3, but then I was like, wait, Shazam's just
Iron
the
Man 3 is a good example, because it also takes place during Christmas, and I do like that movie.
It's been too long since I've seen it. I think I need to rewatch it. But
I definitely remember liking it way better than any of the other Iron Mans, I think.
I guess I'd have to go with Shazam for now, just because I can't really think of any other ones.
Yeah.
That's fair.
The one movie we didn't see that I still want to see, that came out yesterday online was Soul. I've heard really good things about Soul.
Oh, I've heard that's awesome.
Pixar movie.
I've heard that, I've heard some people say that, like, Pixar is back to making, like, masterpieces with that one.
Yeah.
I've got no idea what it's about, but I think... Oh, wait, wait, wait. How is it spelled? Is it spelled like the South Korean city?
No, S-O-U-L. No.
Oh.
Okay. And it's not about soles of shoes either.
It sort of strikes me as a little bit similar to Coco, except instead of, you know, Mexican music and culture,
it's jazz. Soul.
Jazz and soul.
Soul.
Yeah.
Music. But it looks good.
I thought it looked Inside Out. Is it like a combo?
Maybe a little bit. I don't know. Hmm. I mean, we will have to watch it and see.
I've heard
good things about it.
The animating looks very photorealistic.
I'm always down for good animated movies. Yeah. Even the animated movies where I'm like, I don't like the plot or the character so much, it's still just really nice to look at.
I kind of like that with like superhero movies. I feel like there's a lot of superhero movies where like, even when it's not that good, I can still like... Either I can make fun of it, or it's just fun in a weird way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
One thing we didn't really manage to do as far as Christmas traditions is we didn't have, like, our traditional Christmas breakfast of, like, the cereal that you got in your stocking.
Oh, yeah, I did that.
But no one else did.
I still ate my Fruit Loops together. I probably had more treats than cereal, but...
I think because we spent a long time opening presents, and then, I don't know, everyone just kind of, like...
I fell asleep.
Yeah, Elizabeth went and took a nap.
You made an omelet for...
I did make an omelet, but that probably wasn't until like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, that was which 2. Still felt like morning.
You made me one like around 11.
Yeah, brunch time.
I'm pretty sure it was afternoon.
Mom said that she was eating breakfast, but it was like 2 or 2.30.
Sometimes that's just how it goes.
Yeah. I thought it was a really fun, relaxing Christmas day. We made gingerbread houses, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah,
we watched a movie. We hung out.
You should post pictures of your our gingerbread houses, because yours is decked out. You and Mom both worked on one, and every square inch of that thing is covered in candy. Like, it's really impressive.
It's actually really
cool. I keep on turning my head and looking at them.
I know. Yeah. And we've got 4 little gingerbread houses. Some of them seem to be eroding.
Oh, yeah. I might have...
mysterious.
Keep having chips taken off of them.
I might have eaten the chimney.
Or entire chimneys. Like,
yeah, I ate my chimney.
Yeah, and so did Will.
But when they're all together, they look like a little ginger house village, and it's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Although, here's something that might sound a bit weird, but I feel like each one, like, represents our personalities, sort of.
Our styles.
Well, yeah, we had 2 different people. Elizabeth's friend, Carolyn, who was on the podcast recently.
Mm-hmm.
And Elizabeth's friend Bex both managed to guess which gingerbread, without being told, which gingerbread houses were made by which person in the family.
Mm-hmm. And they both guessed them all right.
Exactly right.
I can see how each one kind of fits their style. Like, Mom and Dad's is very, like, kind of practical, but, like, very, like, decorated
very, like,
and, like...
I don't know how to describe that.
I think people had a little bit of an advantage because... That one's very detailed, and they figured, well, if 2 people were working on it, they'd have more time to do something more detailed.
And then Will's looks like a Van Gogh painting. Like,
I added the little like, swirls on it and stuff to slightly mixed results, but...
Just like a different sort of approach to decorating than any of us took.
Yeah.
And the result was like really interesting
slightly
looking.
Different. I'd say very different.
Yeah.
It has lots of swirls on it.
Yeah, like swirls and stripes.
I feel
like
everyone
candy.
Else sort of
I like yours,
like,
Elizabeth.
Everyone else sort of was like more calculated, and yours is just like, I don't know. I think it's cool.
Yeah, it's cool to look at. And then Henry's was very like mine had like more sort of like cute little like scallops on the roof and stuff. And Henry was very like geometric almost.
It's very planned out.
Yeah.
I used to like on the roof, there's like this grid thing. There's this like diagonal grid thing that I use pretty well.
And some of the candy we use were Good and Plenty, and they come in like pink and white little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like for each row,
I guess.
Alternated.
Yeah, and so he's got like the pink ones going one direction, and the yellow and the white ones going another direction.
I've always thought like my specialty is kind of like style and like detail and like personality, and Henry's style is kind of like. Mapping things out and like putting things together and like
and not
getting things to like work
structure.
Together, yeah. Which
anyway.
I'm not very good at.
And I'm like, I think a Starlight Mint would look good here.
Yes. And my mom and I went for the more is more approach.
Oh, yeah. Just way over the top. I don't have the patience for that, I don't think.
Maximalism. Mm-hmm.
It worked, yeah. though. It worked really well.
Yeah, maximalism.
10 out of 10 would get lured into that gingerbread yes. house.
Like, it looks especially like a, good for I would have capturing little children lost in the woods.
Yeah. It looks like a cartoon of a gingerbread house. Like, it's not detailed.
Totally. Yeah.
So it was a nice Christmas. I really enjoyed it. We should do it again sometime. Maybe next year at this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, next year would be good.
Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I have a really important monolith update. A new monolith has been discovered in San Francisco.
Of course.
There have been about 85 of these around the world. Did you know that?
I thought there are 87 point, now.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you need to have like a running count. This one, though, is worth mentioning because this monolith was made of gingerbread.
Oh, nice.
Oh, of course.
Okay, there's no way all of these are made by the same person, right?
Yeah, especially since Mom was in
imagine
Romania.
It's got to be several people because one person can travel around and do all this.
I feel like at this point someone is just trying to like catch up with the trends.
Yeah, they say this one, rather than a smooth-sided metal monolith as seen in Utah and later other parts of the world, San Francisco received a quirkier version. In particular, this monolith seems to be made of gingerbread. There are posts of the gingerbread structure found in the Corona Heights Park.
Corona Heights?
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's
oh, my
gosh.
A park in San Francisco.
Was that intentional, I wonder?
I think it was called that already.
Oh. Well, no, I mean, do they put it there specifically on purpose?
They said it was shaped like the one in Utah and approximately 10 feet high in height. Other people guessed that it was actually shorter than that, like 5 to 6 feet in height. So conflicting things about that. Someone who was running in the park said, I think I smelled it before I actually saw it. It must have been fresh. Another user said he was distracted by a double rainbow and walked by it to get a better photo. And then smelled something and realized what it was.
That's an omen. That's like the rainbow like guiding him to it. A good omen.
But it was apparently made of gingerbread, frosting, and gumdrops.
Yeah, and okay.
One person said they saw someone licking it.
Don't do that!
Wait, maybe the reason why there's differing opinions about the high is because it's like being chomped.
Josh Ackerman on Twitter posted, "The gingerbread monolith is real, so real that I even watched someone lick it." And then I proceeded
Corona
to say
Heights
a prayer
indeed.
For them.
Okay.
That's pretty 2020.
Come on, it's like out where like birds poop and stuff, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
No one, apparently people were kind of concerned because it started raining and they were concerned about the monolith. The park, the people in charge of the park, I don't know what they call them, if they're park rangers or park management, has said they will not remove it. They will just let it stay until it crumbles away.
Maybe with a sign of, like, do not look.
But that is...
It's got to get moldy after
a pretty
while.
Good monolith story. As I've mentioned before, the monolith is probably one of my favorite stories of 2020.
Hey, wouldn't it be
this
crazy
is one of my favorite of the monolith stories.
Wouldn't it be crazy if it just, like the rain just didn't affect it?
Yeah. There was, like, a force field around it, so the
petrified.
Rain just sort of...
I just came up with a theory about the original monolith. I don't actually think it's true, and I do think like the first few ones were all by the same person.
You're not really selling it.
Well, there's one in but, Utah okay. and one in Romania. You can't get flights from America to Romania
imagine
right now,
if someone,
Will.
Imagine if a construction worker in Utah was like, maybe they like started a construction plan, but then like decided to go somewhere else with it, and so they had this monolith, and it was going to be part of something else, but
I mean,
they had to like
a,
scrap it.
It's a national
it.
Park. You can't really build on that.
Well, they felt like doing it.
Also, why would they have a monolith?
Then, so they just
would
had
they
it there.
Just build a metal monolith and just have it?
And one of the construction workers was like, hey, Joe, can you take this down? And he's like, yeah, sure. And he never does. And he's like, everyone's like trying to recreate the monolith now. This is just like a failed construction project.
I wonder if there's a WikiHow for how to build your own monolith.
Probably. I have a controversial opinion about the monolith.
Yes?
Do not think it's a monolith. I think it is an obelisk. And I'm tired of everybody calling it a monolith. It
yeah.
is clearly an obelisk.
That's true.
It's not a monolith because it's not made of one
the
stone.
Discourse.
Yeah. It's an obelisk, guys. Come on.
Yes. It's not strictly obelisk shaped, though. An obelisk is a very specific shape.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's got to be pointy at the top. And they're not pointy.
Is it not
at the
pointy
top.
At the top?
Nope.
No, it's not.
I was imagining that it was. Triangular.
And usually they're made of like a stainless steel kind of metallic.
I thought it was just a square.
No, it's triangular. It's like a triangular prism is the shape.
Oh, that's weirder.
Yeah. I feel like this whole thing wouldn't be as weird if it hadn't happened multiple times in different countries.
Also, the fact that we don't know who's doing it is still interesting to me, that you can have that many of them and no one's really figured out who's doing it.
I mean, other than
lots of different people are doing it.
Okay, I think here's... I think
by now it's just a trend.
Well, it was an artist who is selling these and is claiming credit for it, but nobody really knows if they're like actually real.
Interesting. I haven't heard
like
that.
Banksy.
But that's interesting.
I think what this means is if all the monoliths disappear when it's 2021, then we're fine. But if they don't disappear, then 2021 is going to be worse and the world's going to end.
Yeah, imagine if this is
like, they did just suddenly disappear and on New Year's Day, wouldn't it?
Imagine if this is like, you know, in TV shows when they'll like plant like little details or minor subplots that become like this huge like plot arc later. Imagine if this is like the like prelude or like tease for like what's happening in 2021.
Hopefully they're not harbingers of death, like Mothman.
I hope that it's not an advertising thing. I hope it's not an advertising thing.
Brought to marketing you by Coca-Cola.
That would be the worst.
I sort of hope it disappears and it's just campaign. Not explained.
Yeah, and then like it's all of them just like... It's like, you thought this was aliens? Well, Coca-Cola's out of this world. And you're like, oh. Yeah.
Pepsi, the choice of a new monolith.
The official monolith drink only Pepsi.
Imagine if someone
offer
like,
up offerings of Pepsi to your local monolith so that you may be spared.
Go to pepsicola.com/monolith for more.
I still like my theory about it being like an ARG setting up like the next 2001 movie or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next space.
But yeah, imagine if they figure out like, oh, there's these vibrations like in here and them. If you decode them, then it takes you to this website and this website takes you to this and then it's just a Pepsi ad. Nice.
Yep. Does anyone want to share their story?
I have a pretty funny one. Octopuses like to punch fish, new research suggests.
Scientists are on the breaking, just on the breaking
edge. I saw
headlines.
These stories pop up, and they made me laugh.
I would also like to punch fish.
Octopuses apparently are jerks.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to punch a fish. They've had
it too
good for too long.
Can we just get this out of the way? Octopuses. Everyone say it together.
Octopuses.
Octopi are jerks.
Octopodes.
Octopodes. Is the... Okay. If you're going by, I can't remember if it's
Octopode.
The Merriam-Webster or the Oxford Dictionary. It's one of them that says it's octopoly, so I'm going to say that because it sounds funny.
I think it's the octopoly.
Octopodes.
It's the
octopi.
It's the octopoly anomaly? The octopoly anomaly?
Octopuses.
Yeah, okay. So anyways, so basically, you may be wondering why they're punching these fish. And it's because, so I'm pretty sure sometimes like... So octopuses will sometimes go hunting with fish, and they'll like punch the fish to make sure that they or to make sure that like they cooperate.
Girl
although,
sergeants.
Sometimes
essentially just bullying this fish.
Although that's not always the case. Sometimes they just do it because
just out of spite. Just
all right,
fun.
Listen
just
up. Because they feel
I
like it.
I feel like fish have had it too good for too long. Those punks had what's coming to them.
There are some really funny video and like gifs. There's just this little octopus and a fish swimming by, and you see this little tentacle just go boom.
Toughen up, you guppies.
I like,
and it's really funny. It's kind of sad, but it's funny at the same time.
I like the phrasing of the headline, the new research suggests. Like, they've been controlling these experiments, and in every single one, the octopuses just really love punching fish. That's what the research suggests.
Tell us what the research does suggest, Henry.
According to the article, in some cases, the octopus on fish violence... couldn't be connected to anything in particular. In other words, the octopuses were being total jerks. It doesn't actually say jerks, but it's a family-friendly podcast, so...
I don't know. I like my theory of them just being, like, drill sergeants.
I like my theory of them just doing it for fun, just for that little hit of dopamine.
Hey, they're hunting.
You want to see me punch that fish over there?
You know, octopuses only hurt fish because they come from a troubled home life.
They apparently do live... Octopuses apparently do live this kind of complex life. They're, like, really smart, and they can do a lot of things you wouldn't expect an octopus to do.
Yeah, and it's,
like... crawl out of their...
Like, when like, a dog does something, like, that kind of sucks, it's like, well... it's probably not that smart. Or like same with like a fish doing jerky things. It's like, well, whatever. They're going to die in like a week anyway.
I think.
Or like, you know, they're not terribly smart. But like when things like crows or octopuses or like chimps or dolphins do it, you're like, you know better. You're just a jerk.
I think every animal is capable of doing stupid things.
Oh, yeah.
Especially humans.
I mean, I work at a high school. Yeah.
Humans are smart enough to do all the stupid things.
That's why I need to return to monkey.
I agree.
Yeah.
Reject humanity.
Will, return you want to share your story?
Yeah. Sit. Stay. Detect COVID. Chile dogs report for duty at Santiago Airport.
I think we've actually discussed this on the podcast.
We talked about this before, but this is like an update.
The task of sniffing out passengers infected with COVID-19 at Chile's Santiago International Airport is going to the dogs. Yeah, we did talk about this before. But yeah, this is like an update. So, a team of golden retrievers and Labradors sit when they smell the virus, get a treat. The canines sport green biodetector jackets with a red cross. It says the passengers will like wipe their necks and wrists with these pads that will then get put in glass containers, and then they'll just give it to the dogs, and the dogs will just like sniff it out.
Is there any danger of the dogs?
We did a news story about when they were doing the research to do this.
Yeah.
And now it's apparently happening in Chile's Santiago Airport.
They can identify... Oh, sorry.
Is there any danger of the dogs getting corona? Because I know that dogs and cats can get it, but it's like way less severe. Like it's there's almost like a 0% chance of them dying from it. It's just like a cold or whatever.
I don't know if they can get it from sniffing article like swabs or something.
I don't think they mention it, but it says they can identify infected individuals with 85 to 100% accuracy.
Wow.
And they can rule out infection with 92 to 99% accuracy.
That's pretty cool. And it's really impressive. We talked about this before, they were saying like the practical use at an airport is much better because even like a rapid results test can take hours to get back, but a dog can just immediately detect it.
They have more than 3 million olfactory receptors. Not sure what those are. Doesn't say.
It's sniffing, like the things that help you sniff and smell.
And that's more than 50 times what humans have.
Yeah. Olfactory means like your nerves that sense smell.
Oh, yeah. Dogs, I'm always like blown away by how detailed a dog's sense of smell is.
Yeah. It says that cases are far down from like a really big peak in June, but they've been rising again. And now they've got like on average like about 2,000 new cases a day in Chile.
Have we talked about on the podcast before how weird smell is when you really break it down?
Yeah.
You're talking about like tiny little particles of things floating in the air and your nose detecting them. Like,
and then it has a certain feeling that's kind of indescribable.
And when you smell something good, that's fine. But when you're smelling something bad, that means tiny little particles of that bad thing are in your nose.
Yeah, basically inside your body at that point. It never really hits me how weird it is until I smell a specific smell that like takes me back to a really... like a certain memory.
Oh yeah, smell nostalgia is quite powerful.
It's weird. Yeah, no, it's very specific. I feel like sometimes I'll smell like a specific thing. I can't even like put my finger on it, but like suddenly it's like, oh, that smells like my grandma's house back when I was like 5 years old.
Yeah,
like
whenever I smell like a boxwood shrub, which is a particular type of shrub, I always think of my grandparents' house when I was a kid.
And different people have different, like, bleach or different carpets or whatever. So, like, sometimes they'll kind of smell like their home or their home smells different.
Yeah, my grandparents on my dad's side, your great-grandma and Grandpa Bear, they always had a very specific smell. And even when they would, like, send us letters, the letters smelled like that.
Mm. Yeah.
And I don't know why, like, their house always smelled a very particular way.
Yeah, I remember Grandma Kinsey made me a quilt 1 year for my birthday, and like it would always smell like her house. Like for like the next, I feel like 6 months, it kind of smelled like her house. It was wild.
Yeah, it's nice.
There's a specific laundry detergent that smells like my freshman year of college to me.
Oh,
and I don't know like what it is specifically. I just know like when I smell it, I'm like, oh, it smells like freshman year. It smells like the dorms.
Is that a good or a bad memory?
Sometimes I feel like there are certain retail stores that no matter where you go, that store always has a particular smell. And I think if you could get really good at where you could be blindfolded and brought into that store and be like, this is Walmart or this is Home Depot.
Yeah.
It's Old Navy.
Like with Walmart, I feel like you can especially smell like the pastries and stuff. Like with Target, you can definitely smell like the produce and the groceries, which I really like.
You can smell pastries at Walmart? I think it depends on the
They don't
second,
let you do
actually.
That anymore, actually. It used to be you could just keep, take handfuls of bread and just...
As long as you keep a respectful distance.
Well, yeah,
okay.
That's not what I think of when I think of Walmart, son.
Well, there is something nice about walking into, like, especially, like, a Central Market or something, and just, like, smelling
Central
all the
Market,
produce.
Yeah,
there used to be, a records and tapes and video store called Hastings when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And like Hastings always had a very particular, it was like the plastic packaging around the DVDs or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like I could always recognize the smell of that store.
Oh, H Mart, when you enter in, smells True. Very, very distinct for whatever reason.
I feel like you can kind of smell like the kimchi. A bit of fish. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not even that. It's
hard
like
to
the, maybe it's like the cleaner they use or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Who has another story? Elizabeth?
I do. Yeah. Thai baby elephant hit by motorcycle survives after receiving CPR.
Wow.
That's a lot to take
in. So many heroes. Mm. I
so
guess there's
heroes.
One villain, but yeah. A hero for sure.
Well, I mean, it's a baby elephant. Maybe he just ran out in the middle of the road without thinking about it. It doesn't give much
true.
Details
That's
as
true.
To like how the accident
the,
happened.
Might not be the motorcyclist's fault. Maybe he just ran out chasing a ball.
Yeah. The worker who resuscitated the elephant, his name is Mana Srivate, I think.
A true hero.
literally, yeah, true hero. He says he's performed dozens of resuscitation attempts in his 26 years as an emergency services worker, but Dang. Never before on an elephant until he was called into action while off duty on a road trip. So he was actually like...
Off duty. On the clock.
Yeah, and he successfully revived a baby elephant struck by a motorcycle while crossing a road with another group of wild elephants.
By day, I'm a qualified medical specialist. By night, I save baby elephants.
All yeah. day, every day, baby.
That is pretty awesome. I
right?
don't know.
Right?
Can you imagine coming upon this scene and there's a baby elephant on the road and someone's doing CPR compressions?
Yeah
literally.
Yeah.
The both the rider and the elephant were received emergency services because they were both pretty banged up, as I'm sure you can. I mean, the elephant got hit by a motorcycle, and the motorcyclist in a motorcycle accident, like you're just sort of out there, and he hit. I mean, a baby elephant, but it's still an elephant, right?
Yeah, I mean, even a baby elephant, that's more than a bump in the road for sure.
Yeah.
And they interviewed the guy, Mana, and he said, "It's my instinct to save lives, but I was worried the whole time because I can hear the mother and other elephants calling for the baby," which, like, the way that elephants, like, communicate is so, again, so interesting.
And do you think that the other elephants would understand that you're trying to help, or would they think you're trying to attack the baby elephant? I would be
a
little concerned.
They kept their distance the entire time, it seems like. Yeah, he said, "I assumed where an elephant heart would be located based on human theory and a video clip he saw online."
Interesting.
Which is really interesting, yeah. Can you imagine being put in the situation and going
phone,
like, "I...
Well, where is an elephant's
not
heart?
Not really sure where any of these organs are located." But, you know, best guess.
And how many beats per minute an elephant has.
Yeah.
You have to guess about that,
He says,
too.
"When the baby elephant started to move, I almost cried." Which, yeah, dude, me too.
Oh, dang.
Me too.
I hope everyone there gave him a... hearty round of applause.
For real.
Hardy. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope he's recognized as a national hero, honestly.
Kind of a miracle that he was able to save that baby elephant.
Yeah. The elephant stood up after about 10 minutes of CPR, and then he was taken to another location for treatment, and then returned to the scene of the accident in the hope of being reunited with its mother. As soon as they showed up and heard their baby calling out, the pack of elephants quickly came onto the scene and, you know, took the little baby.
Such a happy ending.
Such a happy ending.
Yeah, and then
ending.
They went to the person who saved the baby and gave them... Wait, I'm trying to think of
something.
Yeah,
a nice little hug with their trunk.
Did they, like, show any, like, appreciation for the
person? Send them on the back with the
trunk. It does not say. It's a very short article, so it doesn't really say, like, how the elephants reacted to it other than just wanting their baby back, which is probably about the extent of it, because they usually don't want to mess around with humans too much.
They wanted their baby back. But not their baby back. Right?
Elephants are also elephants are also really smart creatures.
Oh, super!
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, did you see that article where it was like apparently they did a study. Apparently, elephants react to humans in the way that we kind of react to like puppies, like they kind of think that we're cute.
Let's do a dad quiz.
That's pretty good.
I have a dad quiz here. I'm going to send it to the family group chat.
Oh, boy.
Well, there's two different ones we can do. One is just like, it's a checklist. You check off how many typical 2020 things did you do during the year? And the other one is you have to guess, did this thing happen in 2020 or not? Which one of those quizzes sounds more interesting to you?
I think first did this happen in 2020?
I think the first one. Oh, no. Did this happen in 2020 seems too easy.
Okay, repeat the first one again.
It's like a list of things, and I think it might be kind of interesting to discuss, but it's like, here's some typical things that people did in 2020. How many of them did you do? So, like, did you live a typical 2020 life?
Yeah.
Yeah, or, I think.
All right, let's do that one. I think the quiz itself isn't necessarily that interesting.
Both of them seem pretty interesting, but I think I would prefer to do the first one just to see how we measure up.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So I have a group chat with my D&D friends.
Here it is.
And one of my friends just shares posts that their dad makes on Facebook, and all of them are just wild. But my friend said their dad posted this Facebook status: "I've started teaching my son and his friends karate. I'm not qualified. I just really enjoy kicking kids."
Dang. Like the octopus.
Yeah, like the octopus.
All right, this is going to the family group chat. So pull it up.
All right. Oh, I saw it just as it went up.
It says, if you did 21 out of 30 of these things, you officially live the same life in 2020 as everyone else.
All right.
This is from BuzzFeed. I think I said that before. So let me know when you have it up.
Oh, I got
it up.
Did you? You downloaded Zoom.
Yeah, I did that.
Everybody did
if
that.
If you haven't, then you're like...
Used a funny Zoom background.
If only.
Like, I
never got to like get to a good laptop.
A few times I actually used...
That would support.
Because Chromebooks don't really support it, right? I'm going to use actually, it because technically it was a Microsoft Teams background, but I think that counts.
A few times I actually used Mom's laptop just to get those. Don't really anymore, though.
Did you get a subscription to a streaming service?
Yes.
I think I got three
HBO
of them
Max,
this year.
I mooched
Disney
off
Plus.
Of that one, so yes.
HBO Max. I'm trying to think.
Hulu.
Plus, I think, was the year before.
Didn't we get Hulu?
I think we might have added Hulu.
I also added
Apple TV recently.
Wait, really?
Although I think I might cancel it because I watched the show I wanted to watch.
to watch one show.
Joined TikTok.
I did not.
I did. I've only uploaded one video, and it's just me like drawing a D&D map.
I did not join TikTok, although I do enjoy watching ones that get filtered out through Twitter.
Yeah.
Learned a TikTok dance.
Nope.
No.
Okay. Oh, I thought you'd say yes, Elizabeth.
No, I'm not going to post. I don't want to post any of my face online because I don't want teenagers to laugh at me.
Wore a custom face mask or made your own face mask.
Surprisingly,
I can't remember
no.
if I've done that or not. I don't think so. I mean, I think I might have made one
have
with
not.
Like a...
Okay,
with like a bandana in the early days where it was like a bandana.
Wait, actually, I have worn a custom face mask because my orchestra made them.
Okay, technically. Oh, yeah, I guess that.
Technically, Bex made, or I picked out the fabric and Bex made one.
Technically,
but,
that,
yes.
Technically, that one time when we did like
that
a.
Oh, that counts.
When we did like a outdoor orchestra Halloween concert because we had to do outdoor because of COVID. My last minute costume was like a hipster where I wore like corduroy and. Or like plaid and a like beanie, and I wore like a mask like with a mustache on it.
Yeah. Oh, that's cute.
I think that counts.
That's totally cute.
Baked banana bread. I did bake banana bread.
I did.
Also had those.
I don't think they have sourdough on here, but they should.
They should.
But I did bake banana bread.
We also have those custom.
Did you play
masks?
A lot of Animal Crossing and/or Among Us?
More Among Us than Animal Crossing, but yeah, I'm gonna.
I've played a lot of both.
I didn't play that much Animal Crossing.
A lot of Animal Crossing at the beginning of the quarantine, and then I've played a lot of Among Us.
I only played Among Us that one night when we all played.
It was fun.
So I don't think I get to check that one. I'm done an Instagram Live.
Nope.
No.
Me neither. I'm on Instagram, but I've never done Instagram Live.
I, like, never check Instagram. I posted that to Instagram. I'm like, oh, really? I didn't get a notification. And Bex is like, yeah, your dad liked it.
I like Instagram. I know all social media has like a dark side, but Instagram to me seems mostly okay because it's just
pictures.
You
can filter out but like a lot of the stuff that you don't also, like too very easily.
Whereas well, yeah, with Twitter, also, it does kind of spam. The way they handle notifications is just kind of.
It's true.
Yeah.
Rewatched all your favorite shows.
I think we did that for Parks and Rec, didn't we?
I did that with Full Metal Alchemist.
You guys did.
Oh, also Avatar.
I rewatched.
Oh, and Infinity Train. Silicon and Valley. Avatar. Yeah.
You rewatched Infinity Train?
I rewatched it with Bex because Bex hadn't seen it.
And I guess we rewatched Book 3 with you.
Yeah.
Man, that's so good.
It's such a good show.
I think binge Avatar. All the new Netflix shows doesn't really count because there's so many of them. But I think if you binge any of them, you should be able to check that one.
Not Netflix shows, but like shows
I did Tiger King at the very beginning again.
I didn't really.
I don't think I can count that because I haven't
been watching a lot of Survivor, like old Survivor seasons.
Like when like Avatar and Legend of Korra was on there, like rewatched that.
Yeah,
never actually finished Legend of Korra until quarantine.
Watched a lot of cable news.
No, I'd rather
Thank
die.
Goodness, anyone? No.
No.
I'd rather die.
No.
Does anyone actually?
I watched some on election night. That was pretty much it.
Oh, yeah.
I watched some involuntarily in the days after the election because it was everywhere, and I was like, I wish I wouldn't.
I feel like only old people watch news like on cable anymore.
I think you are probably right about that. Attended an event online.
Yeah, like Zoom events.
What counts as like an event?
Like Zoom events.
If it events?
We've had like Among Us
or like a musician doing a live event online.
Mm-mm.
Gotten annoyed when a movie was postponed.
Yeah, obviously. Of course. Man,
no, I haven't.
I keep on forgetting, but Quiet Place Chapter 2 got postponed.
I don't really care. I don't really think that there's any movies where I'm like I would be annoyed if it was postponed. Like it'll come out when it comes out. I don't know.
Found a new hobby.
Yeah,
I did.
Sourdough bread, definitely for sure.
I'd say playing guitar.
I can't believe I actually released
embroidery. Yeah,
I like released my first EP like over quarantine, and now I think it's kind of outdated, and I've gotten better since.
That's good.
It's crazy that that's like
wait, you released it during COVID? Really?
Yeah.
The next one is
there's like two songs.
Fell
that
in love with
of
the Queen's Gambit, which I have not watched.
Oh,
yet.
I need to watch that.
I've heard it's really good.
I've heard it's pretty good.
Heard it has a good cast, but no.
Tried Home Remedies.
No.
Nope.
I don't know what that means.
It means like, you know, something. What is a home remedy? How would you explain it?
It's basically like making yourself feel better, like physically, like if you're physically not feeling too well, making yourself feel better without like medication or like,
it's like
actual medical, like hot
oh, you've
tea
got a
with
cold?
Lemon.
Yeah, let me make you up some honey lemon tea.
Oh,
and
I actually did do that once when I was like kind of having a hard time.
I mean, do
breathing.
You count like lying down with a heating pad like a home remedy? It doesn't
was,
feel like it.
Maybe.
There was
of.
One time I did
but
that.
But I
for,
do
like,
that
lemon
anyways.
Ginger
it's
tea.
Not a quarantine thing.
Yeah.
I think I had just forgotten to take my meds.
Became obsessed with Tiger King for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
No, I never watched it. Still not completely sure what it's about.
It's about horrible people doing horrible things to animals.
Everyone was watching it for a while, but you really don't need to go
but,
back
like,
and watch it. I
do
think people realized it was just a...
Is it like a historical documentary or do they actively do it?
No, like, it's going
it's like
on like
fairly
right now.
Current,
all these people are
fairly
still
current
alive.
Documentary over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Well, most of the people in it are still alive.
Yeah. Watched a lot of DIY videos.
No.
Like a lot.
No. I've looked up like one or two at some point.
Hung out with your friends on video calls.
Like orchestra events.
Yep.
I don't have friends. Like they disappoint me.
Wait, how can they disappoint you if you don't have them?
Watch.
It's disappointing that you don't have them.
Yeah.
Watch John Krasinski's Some Good News. I think
I
watched like one
I have
of
not
them.
Heard of that, but
I've
it
watched
seems
some
like
more
something
news.
That
Yeah,
be
some
good.
More news. I've watched a couple of that. That's good.
Cody Johnson's of, formerly of Cracked, I think.
I need to watch more Cody Johnson.
But I hadn't heard that John Krasinski is doing that.
Yeah, I think it's like a YouTube channel that was started during the pandemic, and it's like kind of uplifting things.
I think it's kind of directed
I've only watched
like,
it once, but I'm going to check it.
What is Dalgona Coffee?
I don't know.
I think that one's directed more towards like older millennials or Gen X. Like some good
obsessed
news.
Obsessed about BTS.
It's not
Whips
Coffee because that was a thing for a while.
About BTS.
No.
No.
Behind the scenes? That's kind of interesting.
Gone on a mad dash to the supermarket to stock up on items. Yes. I have done that.
Yes.
I mean, I've
gone there on behalf of you guys, actually.
Yes, you have.
Kind of. I keep on getting like flavored water.
Tried home workouts.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean,
does couch
5K.
Does that count? Since
watched a webinar or online panel. I have for work, for sure.
I'm trying to think.
I'm
going to
say no.
Guys, do you think that I have attempted to cook on my own?
I guess yes, technically I feel like
you sure have attempted it.
I've attempted it, for sure.
I have ordered in many times.
Many times.
I have.
Although I think we tend to order carry out more often.
Yeah.
But we've done it. I kind of want to do that today.
Shopped online. Yeah.
I don't know if I have. I don't know about you guys. I hate shopping online. Bex likes it and orders stuff online all the time. I really do not like it. I like going places and putting my little fleshy hands on things. I don't trust online orders because there's so much that can go wrong.
There are. You definitely have to be a little cautious. Some stuff, you look at it online, I need this. And then you get it and you're like, this is not what I expected.
Yeah. Or you go to the thing and it's exactly what you need, but the dealer is so sketchy. The only time that I do that is I think when I was looking for certain cables for my N64.
Yeah.
I had to go online and there was some sketchy stuff. Thankfully that all came through okay.
Yeah.
But I was really worried about it.
Yeah, I worry about stuff like that. Although sometimes that's the only place you can find some of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, sometimes there are funny things on Twitter where someone's what I thought I was getting online and what arrived.
Speaking of which, spend way too much time on social media.
Yep.
Yes, and that's why I uninstalled Twitter.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good call.
Honestly.
But I did shop online this year. For different things, for different people.
Didn't you also, stop using Twitter?
All right.
I still have my Twitter. It's, privated and I don't post anymore. Yeah. But I still, there's a Twitter group chat of online friends that I still keep up with. That's basically all I use it for.
Yeah. But, I feel like Twitter isn't even, it's not even just, the politics. It's not even just, the communities that is a part of it. It's also just really addicting.
Just the way that people react to things is so blown out of proportion, I feel.
Yeah,
for sure.
And
Because hot takes. It definitely promotes the hot takes, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like there's this, there's kind of this vicious cycle of being look at this terrible take. But when that's just over and over again, it just kind of gets, just depressing.
It does.
And, results, everyone. Results.
Yep. Results.
Yeah. I got 12 out of 30, which is 4%. And I checked more than 41% of people, which that's a pretty close number, actually.
What does it say for your description?
You've attempted quite a few of these things this year. You probably jumped on the whipped coffee trend, which I did not know existed, apparently.
Oh, it did exist, and Bex really, really liked it and would always ask me to help whip because their hand was getting tired of whipping it.
But you didn't bother learning a TikTok dance or watching the latest Netflix series. I mean, true.
Hold on.
Yeah, mine says the same, although I got 15 out of 30. So just a few more than you did.
Mine says 18 out of 30. It says you've been keeping up, but kind of said the same thing in the description.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Will?
Hold on.
Mine also says you've been keeping up. So
I checked more than 66% of quiz takers, though.
I checked more than 86% of quiz takers.
Oh, wow.
I checked
more than only 41.
I've been keeping up. I probably jumped on the whipped coffee trend.
It's the exact same thing.
I don't drink coffee.
What was your score, though?
80. 17 out of...
80%? 17?
Yeah, 17 out of 30.
Wow, I had the most, probably because of the work Zoom stuff.
Wait, how much did you have?
18.
Also baking.
Yeah, he had 18, you had 17, I had 15. Henry has...
Yeah, also baked banana bread.
Henry, how much did you have?
12? I had 12.
Yeah.
So most of us are pretty close together.
Yeah.
Not really, Henry.
We're all in the same range, basically.
Well, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself. Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
And for treat yourself, I think, Henry, did you get these for me?
I got them for you.
No, Will did.
Will did. One of the things I asked for Christmas was treat yourself treats, and William came through with some... Italian cookies.
Yeah,
Three different types of Italian cookies.
We went to an Asian grocery store just to get you Italian cookies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of international stuff there, too.
Yeah.
These were from an Asian grocery store, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a Christmas present.
So there are... Let's see if I can get a picture of them. We have... Salviardi Mont Blanc cookies, Marini Biscotto di Verona Amaretti cookies, and I know my Italian's not really strong here, but Asolo Dolce Fogliette cookies Fogliette de pasta saffoglia.
Oh, dang, these are pasta cookies?
That's what it says.
Probably.
New pasta just dropped.
Dang.
Of puff pastry.
New pasta.
These look good, I think.
They do
look pretty good. Yeah, they look good.
I like...
Want to bust these open?
Yep, I'm just trying to get a photo here.
I kind of like slightly dry, slightly moist, like... Okay, that's a weird way to describe it. But,
it's a really weird way to describe it. Kind of like crumbly cookies.
Yeah, I like crumbly European cookies. They all look
like pecan sandies.
Yeah.
Honestly, these all look like something you would dip in a warm drink. Like an Italian cappuccino or a hot chocolate. So I don't know how they're going to be all by themselves. I almost wish we had some hot chocolate to dip these in. But, oh well.
Yeah.
That's another thing we haven't done yet is have hot chocolate. We did do the eggnog, which is part of our tradition.
Wait, are these the...
Let's start off with the Fogliette de pasta sfoglia. They look really tasty. They're kind of like a puff pastry, crunchy puff pastry.
They smell pretty good.
I guess cookie. You can pass that one to me.
Yeah. There you go.
Thank you.
These look yummy.
They are a little dry. As I mentioned, they'd be good for dipping in something.
Yeah, definitely. Like some sort of like chocolate sauce like or something.
I feel like their flavor is very subtle. I kind of love it.
I like it too. I like it a lot.
I think the flavor is a little bit too subtle. Still delicious, definitely.
I think it's subtle in a good way.
It was a lot flakier than I was expecting.
I like the vanilla kind of flavor with the sugar on the top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like you bite into it and it just like kind of collapses.
I think they're delicious. I love that.
Yeah.
I like them. They would be perfect, you know... What would make them perfect is if you bit into them and there was like custard cream in the middle.
I was thinking that. It seems like there should be.
But I don't think, I'm not going to hold that against the cookie. It's just,
it's still pretty good. It's
a suggestion.
It'd be good for dipping in like light delicious. It'd be good for like dipping in hot cocoa.
I'd give them a light delicious.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
In fact, we may have to have some hot cocoa later and dip these in them.
I'd give it a low to mid to high delicious.
Dang.
So like the whole range of delicious?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your thoughts.
All right, let's try the Amoretti cookies next.
Amoretti is like almondy kind of flavor.
Usually,
yeah.
Any controversy over these?
No, they're pretty good.
I think they're extremely delicious.
They have a very strong like almondy flavor. Yum.
Delicioso. They taste the way that almond extract should taste.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
very crunchy.
They're very crispy, but very delicious. Like a really strong flavor in like a little crispy cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very almondy, very vanilla-y. Really, really good.
And the last one are these Ladyfingers from Savoiardi Mont Blanc.
I know about Ladyfingers. I know about Ladyfingers and all the different types of cookies from Cookie Booker. But
I know about it from Great British Bake Off.
You can buy these upgrades, and all of them are based off of like, different types of cookies.
These look tasty.
They do.
Yeah, I have a feeling that all of these are going to be delicious.
They look more good like choice. Manly fingers
those
to
Amaretto
me. But
ones are
I feel like I've had these before.
They're
really good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those look really good.
The Amaretto ones would be great in hot cocoa.
So
it'd all be good.
It'd all be really, really good. Yeah. I think they're all meant to be dipped.
That's
like a lot of Italian
Allison
cookies.
Joining us.
Hi.
Treat yourself as brought her to the podcast.
It was the cookies. The cookies brought me.
Ladyfingers is a really weird name for a cookie.
Yeah,
it is.
That was a little bit unexpected. They're mostly what you'd expect, but they have this like...
They're kind of spongy.
They have this kind of fishy tang to them.
I'd say they're just spongy.
That's exactly what I... Just like kind of the back of your throat, like a weird like eggy or like seafoody taste. They definitely
honestly,
taste very
I think these were meant to be like dipped in something.
They are.
I'm going
to
give it an okay because I'm having this...
Yeah, me too.
I said okay because I'm having this without dipping anything, and I think this needs to be dipped.
I was going to say it was okay, too. I think, like, this would be a good component of another dessert.
Yeah.
This
like,
one,
that's all I ever
see. A neighbor
of
ours always used to make this icebox cake that had layers of ladyfingers in it, and I think it would work for that. Mm-hmm. But on their own, they're not very exciting.
The fishy tang kind of makes me think, like, and I get that there's, like, sweet, like, fishy stuff, but it kind of makes me think, like, are these supposed to be savory
eggy.
Or sweet?
I think it's supposed to be eggy.
It's supposed to be sweet and kind of eggy. They don't taste like much of anything, really. They're very crumbly. They're very dry.
They don't
really taste like much.
Yeah. They taste a little stale. I'm not detecting any fishy taste necessarily, but there is kind
of... So do we all agree it's okay?
Yeah.
A low to mid to high okay?
I think they're okay. I think you could eat them with a beverage or as part of a dessert, and they might be tasty, but on their own,
they're just kind of underwhelming.
They're not a meh. This would go uneaten in our house.
They're not a meh or a gross, because they're not, like, useless, but...
Yeah. So that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thank you, Elizabeth, William, and Henry for being on the podcast. Thank you for the very brief appearance of Allison on the podcast for Treat Yourself.
You're welcome.
And thank you especially to anyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can email us at talkdadpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at TTD Podcast on Twitter, where you can tweet us. You can find us at talkdadpodcast on Instagram and Facebook. And you can also find us at talkdadpodcast.com, where you can download and stream all of our episodes from 1 to 229. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. Last time for-